Mr. Penny, what do you make of this Russian exercise? You know, decision to fire 16 intercontinental ballistic missiles from a submerged submarine.
I guess there's probably a couple of points that I could make. First one is that every country with military equipment that is complex needs to test it from time to time. So that in and of itself is not necessarily a big surprise. But to test a whole boatload of missiles at one time is a fairly expensive undertaking. I'm not sure that the reports are correct. It's more logical that they would test one or two missiles at a time, not all 16. But we'll see what they do.
If I remember correctly, the Russian story in the Izvestia newspaper was saying that the last time such an exercise was carried out was in 1991, just a few days before the August putsch that basically brought the end of Soviet Union. Is this Russia sending some kind of a signal?
It could be. Russia, certainly President Putin, understands the role of force in terms of supporting his foreign policy. You see what he did in Korea, you see what he did in the Ukraine and is still doing, and you see what he's doing in Syria. So they are connected, but that doesn't mean any particular test is necessarily directly tied to a particular foreign policy initiative. There's a general connection, but not necessarily a specific connection.
What happens in cases like this? In your experience, does, for example, NORAD get an advance notice from the Russian side saying we're going to be firing off intercontinental ballistic missiles, please don't shoot at us?
Well, the advance notice was in the press release that you just referred to. So NORAD would pick that up. And that would be essentially advance notice, and then they would be watching. Typically, you wouldn't expect a dialogue back and forth. Each country does its tests when it wants to, and if it sees fit to notify the other country, they will. But normally, they do it in some public notification.
And then it's up to the other country to follow up on this.
Well, yeah, you know, we... Both sides kind of watch what the other's doing fairly closely. So it's not necessary. Let me give you a fairly significant example. During the 9/11 events, the Russians were running a strategic nuclear forces exercise. They do this periodically. They were running that exercise while the 9/11 events were unfolding. And later that morning, they canceled their exercise. They didn't do it because anyone asked them to. They did it because they probably figured that with everything going on in North America right now, it was probably prudent to not aggravate the situation in any way, shape, or form. So each side is watching the other.
Now, there have been some reports in the media and questions raised about Russia recently being much more willing to display some of its capabilities. One of the examples that was quoted a couple of weeks ago was this launch of Russian cruise missiles, both from strategic bombers and from the Navy in the Caspian Sea, to attack positions in Syria, ISIS positions in Syria. What do you make of that? Is this just Russia flexing its muscles?
In part. Russia has a military capability. They have foreign policy objectives. And they want, especially Europe, to understand they have this capability. So where they have a need or they perceive they want to use it for some effect on the ground, then why not show Europe that you've got this capability? Because a lot of what Russia is doing in Syria, I see two main objectives from their perspective. One is to support their client, the present leader, Assad. And the other is to make a point to Europe that they're still a military power. And the byproduct of that is lots of refugees heading toward Europe, which probably is a significant positive from the Russian perspective.
Hmm. What are the repercussions of this policy for Canada and for the North American defense?
Well, from the Canadian perspective, I think we have to understand that we're not the direct target of any of these activities, but more the indirect. It's stating out a position that they have a military capability and they're prepared to use it if they see fit. In other words, they're just positioning themselves as a world power, a global power, trying to make themselves look bigger than perhaps they are. But certainly, the role of force has a role in that power projection image. So part of it is what some people call posturing. Basically, you know, trying to put pressure on the international community to recognize that Russia has a voice and that voice ought to be heard. It's just underlining their diplomacy and making it more real. So Canada has to pay attention to that and put it in the proper perspective. The other thing from a North American perspective is, especially when you start realizing the cruise missile implications, this is probably something that a lot of Canadians don't understand, because when you look at the Arctic, we look at not just the submarine and the missile launches. I mean, Russia will keep its long-range missile-launching submarines in the Arctic because they can be protected better. They're harder for another country to get at if they're near the Russian coast and in the Arctic waters. So that's one potential threat. But the other is airborne, and this is where the cruise missiles come in. Cruise missiles could be launched from sea, or they can be dropped from bombers. And NORAD pays a lot of attention to any missile threat. But the one coming in from the bombers is one that links into the future fighter that we buy, because these cruise missiles are fairly advanced. They're hard to find, and they're maneuverable, and they're fast, and they can carry weapons of mass destruction. So it all puts a picture together that NORAD and North America have to pay some attention to.
In terms of the upcoming defense review by the Liberal government, are there some lessons that you think we should draw from this recent events?
I think you have to be careful not to overstate recent events, because unless you're referring to the invasion of Crimea and some of the other more aggressive policy issues, but every country makes its own choice, and certainly if you're referring to the potential test of a missile or two, or whatever number, these are going to be ongoing things. We tend not to pay much attention to them, so when a test occurs, it becomes something that draws your attention. You're talking to me today because there's going to be a test. Well, the capability is there all the time, and they will test it from time to time. Sometimes those timings are arranged, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're just timed that way because it's convenient for a number of other factors that we wouldn't be fully aware of ever. So we can't read too much into these tests. And on the other hand, they remind us that there's a very real military capability, and there's a government in Moscow that realizes that this real military capability is something that they can try to lever to their advantage. And those are things that I think we can take to the bank. Those are real issues. Trying to get too fine-tuned about it is it runs the risk of going a little bit too far.